Oh, did I tell you no headphones on at dinner?
Dad, Lupod just dropped.
Oh, really? Put on the speaker so we can all hear.
Lupod is brought to you by Earl of Sandwich, the official sandwich of Emerson College. Tell them Lou sent you and receive a free cookie with your next meal.
What's going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to the second official episode of Lou Pod. I'm your host, Lou.
Oh, yeah.
And today I'm with two of my big bros, Joe Palladino and Cameron Beattie. So a little bit about these guys, both former Emerson College baseball players. Joe Pa, former captain, shortstop, and Newmax Sportsmanship Award winner. And Cam Beattie, I call him Bam, former outfielder as well with me, intern of the Dallas Stars. He currently works with a recruiting agency, and Joe Pa used to be a Paw Sox intern. Both these guys not from New England, though. So Joe Pa's from New Jersey. Bam's from Arizona. Both Sox fans, though, which is good. So let's get right into it. First off, last episode we had, the MLB was not in lockout, but now they are. So that obviously puts a halt to free agency, which is mainly what this pod is about. So the MLBPA and the league, the owners, they couldn't come up with an agreement for contracts and whatnot. So they're in lockout now. We have no idea how long it's going to go. Hopefully it doesn't interfere with the season. But what do you guys think about the lockout in – what do you think it's going to do for the Sox?
I mean, not specifically to the Sox, but just lockouts in general, always devastating when it comes to professional sports. Crazy. When you kind of look back on it, obviously being older now and kind of have a better understanding of sports and how they work, you get why it happens. You know what I mean? But you had the huge NBA one. You've had a bunch of them just in our lifetimes alone, at least since we've been big fans. So it's always devastating just from the fan side of things, but you got to kind of understand that both sides want what they want. And at the end of the day, people are looking to get paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I mean, I totally agree. I think it's for the MLB, especially, you know, I think we saw probably football or I don't know, hockey maybe most recently, but I just don't really, you know, remember those ones as well. But it's just so interesting how, you know, we saw the beginning of free agency when players were getting signed left and right to massive contracts. And then there was just a massive halt. And everything stopped. So in terms of the Red Sox, I did see a few things out there where I think some free agents were pretty close to signing contracts before the lockout happened. So, you know, the Red Sox haven't been extremely active thus far in free agency. So maybe that could help in their favor in terms of if there were, you know, some free agents close to signing deals, maybe the Red Sox could kind of swoop in and make some moves. So.
I hope so.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, one of the guys I want to talk about who has not been signed is actually a Asian-born player. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but I'll give it a try. Seiya Suzuki out of Japan. He's 27 years old right now. He's been playing pro ball since 2013 at the age of 18 overseas in Japan. This guy, he plays third base, shortstop, right field, 5'11", 180. So not the biggest guy. But he's hell of a ball player, I guess. Over 9 years in Japan, he's batting 309 with 189 home runs and 621 RBIs. And the guy also steals bases. He's usually getting about 15 to 20 steals, give or take, every year. Pa, I know you wanted to go into this guy a little bit. What do you think this guy could bring to the Red Sox?
No, I think it's interesting. He's definitely an intriguing signing if it were to happen. I think a big reason why the Red Sox maybe have been tied to them in, you know, recent weeks and months is because with the, you know, dealing of Renfro to the Brewers and then bringing back JBJ, they lost some power but also got back on that defense. So I'm not too sure exactly how good of a defender Suzuki is, but just based on his offensive numbers He looks like a great hitter. I think last year he hit over 300 as well, close to 40 home runs, which sometimes can translate pretty well into, you know, the majors, Major League Baseball. So I think it's, I think it would be a good move by the Red Sox to look into it, especially that, you know, he could play multiple positions. It would help out in the outfield, losing Renfro, and then also if they were to look to make, you know, some moves the way that they're shaping up their infield with Devers and whatnot. So we'll see what happens. I think it's good that he could play third. So yeah, Cam, I see.
Yeah, Ben, if you want to weigh in here.
Well, definitely. So I just was curious to kind of get your guys' thoughts on how much is this guy going to go for?
I did see something. It was along the lines of around 4 or 5 years, 40 to 50 million, 55, 60 million. So
that's decent, honestly.
Yeah, it is decent compared to what we've been seeing with a lot of the.
Well, I just thought that the biggest attraction would be what's going on with Shohei. I mean, obviously this guy doesn't pitch, but we're seeing that you can just come over and take over the MLB. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then for the Sox specifically, 40 to 50, I can deal with. But if we have another Rusney signing, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, so the guy's actually mainly a right fielder. So it would be cool to see him take over right field in Fenway. But obviously, we all know how difficult of a right field that is to play. So it might take a while for him to learn it. But, I mean, his fielding percentage is good in the outfield. It's over 900. Obviously, throughout – so, I mean, he's been playing pro since he was 18, so he came into professional baseball really young, so it's obviously going to take a while to perfect your craft. And who knows if he even has done that yet. I haven't really seen this guy play at all, but, I mean, I'm just reading articles about it. I'm seeing him all the time on Twitter and stuff. Red Sox Twitter wants this guy.
Yeah, so do some of the players, as you know.
Oh, yeah, if you want to – mention the Ryan Brazier thing. Go ahead, Joe Pa.
Yeah. So before Ryan Brazier came over, I think so. When Ryan Brazier first started his career, he was a pretty highly touted prospect. And then he had some arm issues. I think he had Tommy John, and he was out of the league for a while. Made his way back, as we all know, in 2018. He was one of the best relievers in baseball to close out the year. He helped the Red Sox win the World Series. But during some of his time making it back to you know, professional Major League Baseball, he played in Japan for an extended period of time. And I know that he either played with Suzuki or he went up against him. And he you know, he was just, I think he was speaking to one of the Red Sox reporters earlier this week or last week about the way Suzuki plays, and he only had good things to say. So that's definitely a positive if there's some guys on the team already, you know, speaking highly about him. So that is interesting.
Yeah, so I also saw on Red Sox Twitter, he followed and then unfollowed the Sox on Instagram, whatever that means. So, it is funny. Well, the weird thing is he did it like within, like he followed them one day and then within like a day and a half, he unfollowed. So I don't know if he was in talks with the Sox at that point. But I get
on his way and then the lockout happened.
Yeah, I guess it's never a really good sign, though, to see a guy who, you know, you kind of want unfollow the team on Instagram. But who knows? I think that it'll be exciting for him to come into the league no matter what team he's on, even if he's not on the Sox. You know, I couldn't really care less, like, what team he goes on. I would take him on the Sox, but, I mean, it's just going to be exciting to have another foreign-born player in the league. They always bring some excitement and – especially, I think Japanese baseball is great. They have a different way of playing the game. And in some aspects, I think it's better than the MLB. I think they have more fun over there. So it'll be cool to see him in the league. Another guy I want to get into who he was on the Sox last year, wasn't able to play in the postseason because they got him late. Jose Iglesias, still unsigned.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, another veteran guy who can play three positions in the infield. He's not a power hitter, but he gets big time hits. He'll put the ball in play when you need him to. Great, obviously, great defensive glove. So, do you guys want to see him back on the Sox in 2022?
Definitely, and especially you touched on the fact that his bat not necessarily always being a strong suit. I think you saw at the end of that season last year, he still got a little bit of pop left in the tank. You know what I mean? Sure. He was hitting tanks out of the nine hole. And it was beneficial home runs, whereas a lot of player on our team specifically, as hurt as I am about the whole Renfro thing, the guy was very much, it wasn't necessarily clutch all the time, to say the least, you know what I mean? I felt like big situations specifically, he wasn't the best there. And then you had Iglesias, we're down 1-0. I can remember a game, I think we were in Seattle, down 1-0 going into like the seventh. He comes out of the nine-hole spot, hits a home run to tie it up. I don't remember if we ended up winning the game. I just, that stuck out to me specifically. And then he's never missing with the glove, you know what I mean? And especially for a team like us, without a true second baseman, we got Kike running all over the field. You got, what's the guy's name you love? Arroyo. That's Joe Pa's guy. I like him.
Former first-round draft pick, Christian Arroyo.
Yes.
Lou Pod is brought to you by Earl of Sandwich, the official sandwich of Emerson College. Tell them Lou sent you and receive a free cookie with your next meal.
You know, one thing about Bloom is obviously he has a different mindset coming from Tampa Bay, where money is not a luxury. And he's showing that he can make good deals and get good players for cheap. But I still want to see him. I want to see somebody get signed for 150, 200 mil on the Sox. I think we got enough money, and clearly we're not good enough to win the world. Like, we're not there yet. So you got to get another guy.
The biggest thing with him being from the Rays that you kind of look at that kind of stands out is obviously he did a great job there, but they're not really missing a beat. You know what I mean? Even with him gone. So as much as you want to give credit to him, and obviously he had those draft picks, all those players and stuff, even the Rays are being more ballsy than us, dude. They went out and signed Nelson Cruz. We're not signing anyone. It's like, I get he wants to play money ball or whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? But he doesn't have to. This isn't Tampa. Play your same game. Be smarter than everyone else. Then just pay the right people and stop letting them. I don't want the turnover. Because especially being a Boston fan, we don't like turnover. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not from New England specifically, but it's just a Red Sox thing. You don't want to see. We like the same guys every year. You know, those are our guys. It's not like D-backs fans where I'm, like you touched on. I'm from Arizona. D-backs fans, they come. We got Scherzer gone. All these people in and out. That's not how Red Sox work. You know what I mean? So when you see Mookie leave, you see Benintendi leave, all these people that are homegrown, we don't like that in Boston. We want the same people year in, year out. I want Xander. I want Devers. I want all these guys forever. I want JD.
All right, so I don't know if you guys know about this, but our signature segment called the Show Sox, where the fans tweet and DM at LouPod who they want on the Sox next year. We simulate a year on MLB The Show. So this year, I know you guys are high on this guy. The fans want Trevor Story playing second base for the Sox next year.
Love that.
Obviously a great player in Colorado. He's gotten MVP votes. He's Silver Slugger, two-time All-Star. So we sim the season. And it ended up being a pretty good signing for the Sox. We win the East at 162 record wise. And then we end up beating the Los Angeles Dodgers in six games in the World Series. Trevor Story wins the second base Silver Slugger. Wasn't an All-Star though. He ended the season batting 275 with 33 bombs in 102 ribbies and about 15 steals. So probably should have been an All-Star, but I guess in the season he had his best half, the second half after the All-Star break. Do you guys think that Trevor Story is a guy that can take us to the next step?
I might be frozen. But I would love to see him in a Red Sox uniform. I think that, you know, he'd be coming from Colorado. He's one of those guys who has a lot of pop in his bat, and he could definitely benefit potentially from playing at Fenway.
And definitely, you know,
take a lot of pressure off of the other hitters in our lineup that would just make them so solidified throughout, you know, the entire order. So I think that it'd be huge, and it would definitely take them to the next level.
How many times did he strike out? Do we know? Because he strikes out a ton. Was it over 100 again? He was still 100 plus.
He does strike out a ton.
If he's hitting 275 at 33 bombs, it's all right.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, he had 100 ribbies, so that's way better than – because last year he hit 251, 24, 75 RBIs. He struck out 139 times.
He's had 100 strikeouts in every season except the COVID season.
Okay. Wow. Well, he had
63 that year in 60 games.
That's crazy. Okay, so what does the lineup look like, do we think, if you input Trevor Story in it? And, well, just like our ideal lineup going into opening day. Why don't you tell us that, Lou, just from your perspective? All
right, so, it's so difficult because I know, like, Kike and Verdugo, both guys that can bat, like, one and two. But I also liked seeing Verdugo down in, like, the 7 and 8 hole. Kind of towards the end of last season, because he just has so much pop in he gets the job, but he just slaps it the other way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I guess, I don't know who's going to be in the outfield. I have no idea. I don't want to see JBJ in the outfield. Yeah, no one does.
That's why I'm saying we can have fun with it. Let's all agree on a lineup that we want for opening day.
All right.
With the signings we want.
Is the only addition Trevor Story?
Well, you guys can make the decision on JD Schwarby.
Yeah, because you can stick Schwarber on left.
But either you talked about on this pod alone, we've talked about trading JD, opening up that spot for Schwarber. So we sign him, maybe get another pitcher, but we're not talking about pitching right now. So you could do it to where we keep JD, we sign Schwarber, and we sign Story. Or you can do it to where we trade JD and sign Schwarber, but that also comes into you guys, because we all have to agree on this lineup. We're building the lineup for the Sox 2022.
Okay. I like this. So, I like this.
What about Suzuki?
What about
him? Yeah.
Well, that's kind of
– all right.
Ideal lineup. This is my ideal lineup. Let me just get the positions out of the way first, and then I'll give you the 1 through 9. Day one, I want Chris Sale on the bump. Vasquez catching, Bobby D at 1B, Story at second. Dude, I love Bobby D, Joe Pa. Don't give me that look.
I love him too.
Devers at third, Bogey at third, Verdugo in left, Kike in center, Suzuki in right, and Schwarber DH'ing.
Who's at second?
Story.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm just trying to keep up with it. So Devers, and then you said Doogie and left, Kike in center, and
Suzuki.
Suzuki, right. Okay. Are we good with that, Bob?
That's an unbelievable lineup.
Yeah,
it is. DHing was JD still, or did we?
No, have Schwarber.
Schwarber.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. This one's getting a little unrealistic.
Okay.
Just because Story, Suzuki, Schwarber, we're going to sign them all. You think Chaim's going to sign them all?
I gotta cut that, Bam. I have to cut that.
I don't know if he will. It's a good question. I think that, all right, if we're talking about who Kine, you know, would sign out of that lineup, I think that's fair. But JD probably wouldn't fit into the equation here. So if we're going with Schwarbs and Suzuki, that makes sense. I haven't really seen much about JD getting traded, but let's just say he does. I think that that's fair. He could sign Schwarber, Suzuki. I don't know about the pitching after that. But.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're saying we're signing Story, Suzuki, and Schwarber.
That's a lot. Yeah, that doesn't really sound realistic.
We got to make that a little more realistic.
All right, let's say because
if this is right down the road, Lupod's going off the wire when I have the retweet.
Let's say
going.
No Schwarber and we keep JD. I don't think JD's not going to be on the Red Sox next spring. That's just kind of me trying to get ahead of the curve, saying like he's on his way down. Let's say we'll keep JD at DH. We sign Story and Suzuki. They can sign Story and Suzuki. They really
do. I'd rather sign Schwarber and Story.
So you're out on Suzuki, Bam.
I'm not out on him, but I want Joe Bob makes the final decision. That's my only difference. We all have to agree.
And I, you know, it breaks my heart to even think about it, but I don't. They wouldn't be able to sign all three.
Got it.
And I think that in terms of what the Red Sox need, if they keep JD, they need Story more than Schwarber.
We need the outfield, though.
I want to see Schwarber come back. more than anything, but I just don't think that it'll work out. So I think KD, Zuki. I know, Cam. I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted – we got it. We got the lineup.
You have it for your files. JD, Suzuki, Story, and that's who you roll with.
Those yeah, I think that we – like, Suzuki would be a great addition because, like, I personally, I don't really want to see Duran or JBJ in the lineup that often.
I was just going to ask that question if JBJ fits in, but no, he does not.
Yeah.
Every day he does not. No.
I'm still baffled by that decision by Bloom. It really made zero sense to me. I know that the two prospects we got are pretty decent, but they're both infielders, and we have the best left side in baseball. If they give Devers the extension, when's this extension coming?
I think it's like the end of this next year. Also, Bogarts is a free agent too, right? At the end of next year.
Is he?
Let's see. No.
I thought they signed him.
Yeah, he just got signed.
I don't think they did. I don't think so.
All right, let's see how much longer he's got on that. He's signed through 2025.
Bogarts, wow. Oh, shit. All right, nice.
There you go. What are we doing about the lineup then?
All right. Let's have Kike leading off.
I agree with that. I was going to say the same thing.
Doogie. Doogie batting second.
How is that? That's not going to work.
Why?
Because he's definitely going to have to go down. Because you're going to have freaking Devers, Bogarts, and Story.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Who? Yeah, right, dude, didn't JD and Schwarber bat like 5 and 6 last year?
Yeah, he did. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Doogie's going to have to stay in that. That's why I like that you said that earlier when you were like, I didn't mind him 7 or 8 down there at the bottom. So right. Two is just – I don't think it's really – it's Story all right, or Devers.
So, okay, we'll skip over 2. 3, Bogarts. 4, Devers.
Whoa, see, that's where I think we might be.
Who do you want batting 4?
I think –
Story? He's going to strike out all the time.
I want Story up after Devers because I want Devers – to just do his thing. And then, because I'd rather have Devers up with Xander on second than Story.
It's fair. Yeah, but dude, I guess, but like your 2-hole is going to hit more than your 4-hole. Like then more than your cleanup hitter. You get what I'm saying? So he's going to get more at bats. Unless you really want to just move Story down.
We could put Story in the 2-hole.
I don't like Story in the 2-hole.
You don't like Story in the 2-hole?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Suzuki, too. Didn't you guys say that guy's a bat?
Yeah. I mean,
depending on how he plays in spring training and whatnot, even though spring training doesn't really matter, I think that would just at least determine the starting opening day lineup. So
I think you're going to have to put Story at 5 then. I want Suzuki at 2 and then Devers at 4.
You didn't even watch Suzuki on the team, Bam.
But you guys put him in there. This was my lineup, Schwarby would be in bombs out of the 2-hole like he did all postseason.
Yeah, I did like Schwarber batting up early in the lineup.
All right, well, you have – now we have Story at 5. You know who comes next. It has to be JD.
JD.
Yeah, and then your boy
– we're at 7, 8, 9 now?
Oh, yeah, you got to hit Bobby D there.
I love Bobby D in the 9-hole.
Whoa, geez, no. Oh,
right, I forgot about that.
What are you talking about? I thought we were going to hit him.
What are we at right now?
We have Bobby, we have Vasquez, we have Doogie left to round out the bottom 3.
Okay, so I want 7, Doogie, Vasquez.
Yeah. You can't bat Vasquez last. You just can't.
No. Yeah, no. Vasquez 8.
He's 8 no matter what.
Bobby D 9.
Okay, I'm with it.
Because when you have a guy like Vasquez who doesn't run the bases that well, but obviously Bobby D has the power to send it out of the park and into those gaps. So, I mean, that gives Vasquez more than enough time to score. And I have Vasquez hitting in Doogie right before that. So, I mean, the Sox lineup's scary.
This is a good lineup. This is a
good matter anyway.
Obviously.
Yeah. Better. Right now, it's a good lineup at the moment without any sign. It's a solid lineup, but they're going to have some more guys in there. They will. They have to.
We better get Schwarber back. I'm going to be so pissed, dude. He's a dog.
I really want Iglesias back.
I was gonna say if you get Iglesias, then you can get Schwarber too.
Then why are we messing with all this crazy stuff? Screw Story. Screw the rest of the free agents.
The people want Story, Bam. The people want Story.
No, I get that. But I'm at this point, dude, when we're sitting down talking about it, obviously, you know, I'm a sports person. So I've been following that whatever the hell's going on in New England. Pats are going back to the Super Bowl. We don't got to get into that.
Celtics about to beat the Suns tonight.
The only Arizona team I like, for everyone listening, is the Suns. My dad's from Rhode Island. He only likes two sports. My mom only likes basketball. For the confusion there that it causes everyone. But regardless, now that we're sitting down, I'm having this first conversation since I hung up all my Sox jerseys, put it away for a minute after that heartbreaking loss to the Stros. Just looking back and talking through all this stuff, dude, screw it. Let's go get Schwarber, our guy, back. Sign Iglesias, like you said. And let's just run it back with the same squad, even though we traded freaking Renfro for a washer dryer. We got JBJ back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They need to make another move in the outfield. I don't think Story is realistic. I know the fans wanted him on the team, and it would be cool to see Story playing second base for the Sox next year. But I would rather get the Suzuki guy and let him play the outfield. And Schwarber, yes.
And then also Iglesias.
I'm
fully in on that.
If Bogaerts gets hurt, like I don't want to see Kike playing short every day for like a couple months straight, like depending on what the injury is. Obviously, I think that they could use a veteran infielder that can play all three positions other than first.
And we're talking about Iglesias,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And then keep in mind, we still have Arroyo playing second base. Kike can play second base. I like how they have options to put multiple players in multiple different positions, and they're going to succeed.
Yeah, the Sox do.
That is what the Sox do. In the outfield, they can play all outfield positions. Doogie can play every position. Mm-hmm. Kike can play every position. Even Duran can. And then JBJ can too.
Yeah, he just needs to, exactly. He's more experienced. JBJ can play anywhere in the outfield.
Yeah.
That's the, you know.
I think Doogie's going to be the left fielder, though, just because Kike and JBJ and right in center and right. Not a lot of balls are dropping out there.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, like, see, the thing about Renfro, obviously, is he had a cannon, and he was like one of the, you know, top guys in the league in assists, but getting to the ball, I think he was one of like the worst.
Yeah.
If you look at the stats there, but with JBJ and Kike in the outfield, nothing's falling.
That'd be a cool right field center field duo to watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it would.
All right. So
I do like the lineup at the moment. Obviously, you want Schwarber. So
yeah.
Well, I'm with the. I think we kind of figured out like we don't need to do anything that drastic. Let's go spend money on pitching. You guys said it all already. We have the cap space or whatever that Lou was talking about, all that money we have. Let's go blow it on pitching and let's go sign our guys and just run it back with that same squad. Again, with what I was saying earlier, the reason we're having this conversation is because as Red Sox fans, we don't like the turnover. Keep our guys, keep that squad. We went to the ALCS when we weren't supposed to. Sale played like crap. You know what I mean? There's all these different factors. He already ditched Renfro, but that's fine. It was only a year. So let's just keep Schwarby, keep Iglesias, keep all the guys, and let's give this thing at least one, two more chances and see if we can't win another ring, you know?
All right. So let's – I got the starters who are available. Let's see who do you – I'll list some names. Tell me if you want them on the Sox. Chase Anderson. That name probably doesn't really – do much for you.
That's where you started.
I don't know who he is. Well, that's the first name.
Yeah.
What if we got like Chris Archer?
Oh, you're looking at pitching.
I'm looking at right-handed starting pitching right now.
Chris Archer, he's another 1-2 year deal. You know?
Yeah, like I'm looking at these pitchers right now, and not a lot of them are.
Same with Arrieta, talking about.
You know a guy who I wouldn't mind? Carlos Martinez from St. Louis.
He used to be a dog. Granky throws the ball 50 miles an hour.
Extremely interesting. You're right.
Not many of the – oh, Clayton Kershaw still unsigned.
You do not want to pay that guy what he's going to get. Waka Waka. We got Waka Waka.
Can't handle Boston. Think about Kershaw?
Yeah.
Can't handle the
season. I don't per se want Clayton Kershaw, but
– he's a big name, and he's a – great pitcher when he's healthy. So
yeah, I think we would overpay the hell out of him though.
Yeah.
Didn't Scott Kazmir have a year last year? He used to demolish us when he was in Tampa.
What about LA has a couple relievers that have not been signed. Kenley Jansen and Joe Kelly.
Yeah.
What are thoughts on bringing Joe Kelly home and maybe even adding Kenley Jansen? I would personally rather have Kenley Jansen.
Yeah. In terms of a better pitcher, definitely Kenley Jansen, but, you know, Fight Club, bring back Joe Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that shirt. That dude's also a psychopath, so he could stay.
He is nuts.
Well, just going through the starters, a lot of old
yeah,
guys.
Mostly a lot of these pitchers are old.
Real old. 30 plus is what I'm seeing. And then
I just looked at the left-handed relievers, dude. None of those names are.
Oh, Abad's brutal.
Fernando Abad. Yeah, I don't want anyone.
Oh my God, we had him Baltimore. A couple years ago, I think.
About yes. Do you remember the coming. First game? Paul, we were watching that together. I almost freaked out on you. That dude gave up a tank.
He was so bad. Oh, my God. Geez, a lot of old pitchers, man.
A lot of old heads unsigned right now. So that's what I'm saying. They got to make a trade. We got too many good players that we can't play to not make a trade.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Just think about it. Out of Jeter Downs and then the other two infielders we just got, all three of those guys may not ever wear a Red Sox jersey.
No, yeah, you trade capital. Absolutely.
Granted, they got to sign Devers, though. I don't know why that wasn't automatic. Because, like, bro, one of the best hitters in the game, obviously he's struggling with 3B. He's 24 years old, though. So, and you can DH him or even move him over to 1B if you ever wanted to. Definitely. So, I don't know. A lot can happen and a lot needs to happen for the Sox to get ring number 10. The first thing that needs to happen is this lockout needs to end. So, we're still waiting on that. It'd be nice for them to come to an agreement. Maybe even hook up the minor leaguers a little more. I know that they're promising housing for them, but I mean that's basically slave work in the minor leagues. So that is all the time we got on Lupod episode 2. I want to thank all the viewers for tuning in, and I also want to thank my good friends and experts Joe Palladino and Cameron Beattie for coming on the pod.
Hey, thanks for having us, Lou. Love the podcast. Love what you're doing. Keep it up. Miss you, bro.
Yep. Thanks for having us, man. Really appreciate it. Miss you too. Damn.
All right. Just want to say thank you one more time to all the listeners and go Sox.
Lupod is brought to you by Earl of Sandwich, the official sandwich of Emerson College. Tell them Lou sent you and receive a free cookie with your next meal.